This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you here on the Daily Ticker. On the line right now is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. We were talking about the Jeff Passan story from last night. Major League Baseball eyeing a return in May or June. Basically hunker down in Phoenix and just keep everybody quarantined, play games. Tony, thanks for joining us here in Portland. It's nice to have you on. I'll get your thoughts. As a former 8-year Major League Baseball player, what did you think of the Jeff Passan story? And where would you be if you were currently playing right now? Would you be all in on this, or would you not be in favor of running the league this way?
Wow, that's a good question. I think, you know, obviously Jeff Passan's article was well written, seemingly well sourced. But my first thought was, if I was a player, how would my fellow players be feeling about it? You know, and you're probably going to have a 50-50 split. Like, you're going to have guys who are probably a little more secure financially, mm-hmm. and would rather not risk the health issues and being away from their families at this point. But then you're going to have the other side of the coin, that you're going to have guys who aren't as financially stable and want to get back out. I think ultimately everybody wants to get back to playing. Some are willing to wait this thing out a little bit longer than others, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, how would you approach that? Like, if you're on a major league roster, because we were just having that same conversation, it's funny you bring that up, of the guys who are either earlier in their careers or league minimum kind of earners that, I mean, they're looking at this saying, I need that paycheck this season. But the higher earners are saying, hey, I made $10, $15, $20 million. Like, I'm okay for a year if we don't make it. Like, how would you handle that locker room dynamic if you were on either side of it trying to tell the lower paid players to not rush into this, or if you're a lower paid player, to tell the higher paid players, like, man, you don't understand, I need a paycheck this year.
Right. And I think that's the issue that will be tough. I think the guys who are making a lot of money, most of those guys are going to understand where the guys who are early in their career or haven't made as much money through their career, they're going to understand where they're coming from. I think at that point, it's going to be on Major League Baseball convincing those guys from a health standpoint, mm-hmm. that their families and themselves won't be in harm's way. It's going to be, I see this being one of those issues. Once they get the guys in the building, everything will work itself out. But getting the guys in the building and getting them all on the same page is going to be a task. And here's the other thing. The guys who are on the side of the coin where they haven't had a lot of time at the big league level or haven't made a lot of money, they're going to, or haven't had a lot of opportunity to get to the big league, they're going to want this season to start, because based on how things are going, there's going to be double headers. The rosters are going to have to be expanded. This could be their chance.
Yeah. This is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. talking about the Jeff Passan story about Major League Baseball potentially getting going again. You can find Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter at Tony Gwynn Jr. If I made you commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I know some of this is so, you know, it's moving goalposts, it's fluid. We don't know if in a week it's going to go down. But if I made you commissioner, what would your thought process be on implementing a season versus how long you wait before maybe you just call it because you can't get enough games in?
Yeah, that is the tough part as the commissioner. I don't envy Rob Manfred's job right now because, listen, regardless of how, you know, we feel about it, ownership is not in the business of losing a lot of money. And he's going to have to convince them that if this is going to go longer than, you know, the June timeframe, May timeframe everybody's talking about, that it's worth keeping the season open and having some type of season when it's all said and done. Because at some point, from a financial standpoint, it just becomes untenable for ownership. So if I'm the commissioner, I want to know from the health officials, first and foremost, how likely it is we can get this season in, how early we can get this season going. Because May is, if we're being honest, that seems like best case scenario. June, on the other hand, seems like it could possibly work based on the information we're getting now. So the commissioner has a tough job. If I was commissioner, I would want to hear all the information first, and then I would want to try to figure out how many games we could actually play. Yeah. You want it to be at least of 80 games, right?
Yeah, yeah. How do you think players would feel about seven-inning games?
I think there'd be some players complaining. I think it's just like all rule changes with baseball players. There's going to be pushback at first. Then they'll bear down. And remember, I think it's important for the players to remember that whatever's going to happen in 2020 is going to probably be isolated to 2020 in terms of a lot of the things they're going to have to adjust to. And listen, baseball players this is a luxury to be able to play this game in this time right now. And there are a lot of people out there that don't have a job. So ultimately, I think they're going to all have to get it behind. And even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's something they don't want to do, ultimately, especially from an optic standpoint, they're just going to have to swallow that pill and get out of there. And that's easy for me to say because I'm not playing anymore. But seven-inning doubleheaders to get as many games in as possible, I think you have to consider it. Now, listen, there are a lot of ramifications to that, right? This game is built on tradition, and those records and things mean a lot. Seven innings isn't how this game was meant to be played. Yes, they do it at the minor league level, but honestly, that's more so for financial reasons in a lot of cases, right? So, listen, there's going to be some things that are going to be different if we are able to get back out and play some baseball in 2020, and I think everybody's going to have to make adjustments.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm also curious to ask you, just as a former player, we've seen pushback from guys in other sports about the idea, but how would you have felt, or just how do you think the vibe would be playing in front of no fans?
Well, I mean, you just got to harken back to your minor league a little bit, right?
Like playing single-A ball.
You just got to kind of take your ego out of it, take the things that you've been used to, accustomed to as a big leaguer, and just get back to the old school playing backyard baseball. I mean, because it's just going to be an organized version of that. There's not going to be any fans, no concessions. There may not even be a PA. You may just have to walk up to the plate and just get ready to hit. And these are things that are amenities, right? These are things that we have become accustomed to, but that wasn't how it was when we first started playing in Little League. You walked up, they put your name on a sheet of paper. You saw what order of the lineup you're hitting. You walk up as your position next to it, and you kind of just play some baseball.
Yeah. This is Tony Gwynn, Jr., Radio.com, MLB Insider. You talk about playing in front of almost nobody, like in minor league ball in some instances, and that's what we might be seeing right now. Who does it benefit, though? Because they had, what, was it 2-3 weeks of spring training before this?
About 3 weeks,
kind of got postponed. So 3 weeks of spring training. Is there one area of the game where starting and then stopping again and then starting again, it affects the most? Does it benefit anybody in particular?
My guess is it's going to hurt the pitchers most, right? Because they're building up this whole time. Now, the tough part about this stoppage, right, is typically after the season ends, you know, for most guys, it's at the beginning of October. For other guys who's more fortunate, it's towards the end of October. But for the most part, you have an idea of when you stop and when you need to start getting ready, getting your body ready for spring training. The tough part about this is there is no definite start date, right? So pitchers are having to, you know, balance between getting their work in and not doing too much, because ultimately these are all, if they're out there throwing, these are bullets that you're using. And I'm a believer that you only get so many of them. So you, they're trying to manage being ready for the season while also not trying to overdo it. Now, on the other side, I don't know that there is a disadvantage. Yes, timing and rhythm, you need all those to be a successful hitter, but those come a lot easier than building up arm strength, building up stamina to be able to get through games. And that's why rosters are going to have to be expanded, right? Even if you start May 1st, spring training starts again, you do that for 2-3 weeks, guys, starters aren't going to be ready by then. So the rosters are going to have to be expanded. Then you have to add into the account that if there's extra inning games in a season like this, right, that could just completely debilitate a roster. So rosters will have to be expanded. And in terms of who has the advantage, my guess is the offensive guys, the hitters, will have the advantage early on in the regular season.
Yeah, you mentioned the roster size. I think that's and you brought it up earlier as well, just about that being a positive impact for some guys in the Players Association, of guys getting that crack, maybe getting a chance in the big leagues that are borderline guys that don't often get opportunities like this. What's the number, like, of roster size that stands out in your mind? Because I know they expanded it to 26 for this year, but now this whole new doubleheaders and playing, I mean, the weather too, I mean, you got to take that into consideration, 100-plus degrees. Like, is there a number in your mind of a roster size that you think would be feasible for major league teams?
I mean, a number that pops in my head is 35.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a 40-man roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in typical year, you're going to use up either all of those 40, maybe even a few more than the 40 throughout 162 games. Now, it's not necessary that guys are going to, you know, get beat up over a course of a long season. Now you're defending against extra inning games and time squeezed in. The schedule is going to be compacted to try to get as many as you can in. And, you know, pitchers have been built up. Starters have been built up to take the 4 days of rest, pitch every fifth. And that might be more difficult if you have a doubleheader, two starters got to go in that game, right? And so the same amount of rest is going to be issued for one, but another guy is going to be on short notice. And that's going to be the cycle every single week. So I say 35, you're going to have to, you know how teams are, you're going to have to put limitations on how many pitchers you can put on there, because you'll have a team that'll just overload it with pitching. But again, I think there's going to be some major adjustments that have to be made for the 2020 season.
Tony, where would you put the chips, season or no season?
I say season. I think both sides are motivated to get some games in, regardless of whether you can have fans in the stadium or not. I think baseball is one of those sports that, remember, a lot of the revenue comes from ticket sales. So they're probably going to want to get in there and have as many games in as possible. And even some of the owners, they need these games. The TV deals are and I'm sure there's going to be television that are jumping to get games on TV.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think both sides will be motivated to get this done. A lot of it, though, depends on what happens with COVID-19.
Yeah. If you would indulge, I've always wanted to ask you this question. I think it's your first time on our show. What was it like for your family when you became a Padre? What was that like for you and your old man?
Oh, my dad was in heaven. Him and my uncle Chris were both. My uncle Chris was one of the head scouts at the time in the organization. It was a lot of fun being able to spend that kind of time with my dad, him being able to actually watch me play for the first time on a consistent basis live. It was pretty cool. We certainly enjoyed it as a family.
Yeah, that's a cool moment, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. Tony Gwynn Jr., radio.com, MLB Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Go check out Tony on Big Time Baseball. Search wherever you find your favorite podcast. He and John Heyman had an awesome interview with Aaron Boone last week about the status of Major League Baseball, everything we've talked about, but with John Heyman, Aaron Boone, and of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony, thanks so much for hopping on, man. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we're going to catch up with you when the season gets going.
Thanks for having me on. You guys take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.